Do you remember those days before GPS? I tell you, those were the glory days, weren't they? They were. We had paper maps that really took a degree in origami in order to fold them back the way they were to fit back in the glove box. Yeah, though, you know, there was a sense of teamwork that it took in order to use one of those maps. You know, because if you unfolded that map completely, it would cover the windshield, wouldn't it? I mean, those things were so big, and you pulled those things open and things like that. It was crazy. You know, those were the glory days back then. Unfortunately, that nostalgia is lost, because now we have something called GPS. Boring. Little thing, electric map, gives you turn-by-turn navigation. You don't have to listen to your spouse tell you, oh, you should have turned back there. See, it really has interrupted the whole communication between husband and wife. I mean, it's a serious issue. You guys laugh, but this is important. I mean, you know, because you don't have to listen to her or him anymore. You know, you just listen to a pre-recorded message. And depending on what happens on your journey, that is what, you know, that determines the message you're going to get from this thing. It might just say, continue for 1 mile. It's a nice thing. Or take ramp ahead. We have ours programmed to sound like some English lady. Take romp ahead. That's what she said. I don't know what the romp is up ahead, but we're supposed to take it somewhere. It's her accent is kind of funny. Then she'll say, turn right. And of course, there is the ubiquitous. That was your big moment right there. You always hear her say, yeah, recalculating. That's what she says all the time. Recalculating. I can remember one time we were using GPS, and I decided I'm not going to listen to her. And because, you know, I thought I knew a better route to go to get where I was going, and so, you know, I dared to veer off of the predetermined course. And so I, as soon as I got up, boy, just as quick as, I mean, she only has 11 satellites tracking me. Soon as I veered off just a little bit, she said, recalculating. I said, good, you do that because I'm turning right. And so I turned right and she kept recalculating more and more. I figured by the time she's done recalculating, I will be halfway home. So how about that, sister? Driving down the road, she said this, I kid you not, she said, stop and make a U-turn. That's what she told me, stop and make a U-turn. You know, sometimes that is the best advice that you can get, right? Not only as you're traveling down the road of life, you know, or the road you're on, but I mean any road, as you're traveling down your life, that is some of the best advice you're ever going to get. Stop and make a U-turn. The great truth of the gospel is that God allows U-turns. And I'm so glad that He does. Whatever road that you might be on right now, guess what? God allows U-turns. You know, today is our second message of our Reset sermon series. And I want to talk to you about making a spiritual U-turn. The Bible uses the word repentance to describe the U-turn that He calls us to make. And it's found all throughout the Bible. Whether Old Testament, New Testament, you're talking John the Baptist, you're talking John the Apostle, you're talking Jesus, you're talking the early church. I mean, it's all throughout the Bible. It's this whole message of repentance. Now, I know what you're thinking, John. You're thinking, oh, yeah, that's an old negative thing, you know. When John hears repentance, he thinks about a guy that walks around, you know, like about the airport, you know, says, repent, the end is near, you know. And, hey, okay, maybe we can have a conversation about the guy's tactics of evangelism, but I'm not going to argue with his message. We should repent, you know, because, hey, we are all here for a limited time only. It might not be the end of the world, but it might be the end of my life, the end of my opportunities to make a spiritual U-turn. So, yeah, what he's saying is absolutely true. The truth is, repentance is not a negative thing, John. It is the most positive thing that you will ever do in your life. Not just for John, but for all of us. I like picking on John, but it's true for everybody. Because repentance is the most positive choice you will ever make in your life. So we're going to talk about resetting your heart through repentance. And as I do, I want to lead you to a classic story found in the Bible in Luke chapter 19. It's a very familiar story that teaches us a lot about repentance. Doesn't use the word repent, but boy, it models some beautiful things about what repentance is. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like to read that passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. If you have your Pew Bibles, I put the page numbers there for you. You can also use the, if you're using the YouVersion app, you can find us right there as well. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. One of my favorite words, mutter. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. I want to talk about the positive side of repentance. And to clear things up, just so we all understanding the terms that we're using here, let me just tell you what repentance is. Repentance is a change of mind and direction. You know, it's both thinking and acting differently. One of my favorite stories of repentance that illustrates repentance was a story of some neighborhood boys. And they had just experienced about 2 inches of rain that afternoon. And I mean, it had rained so hard. And where they lived, there was like this gully that was kind of out in the middle of the neighborhood. It was where water would come down and would gather, you know, on heavy rains and things. So it was a perfect place for these boys to play some football. And so there was muddy down there. You get your feet in there, and you kind of sunk a little bit, almost to the ankles. You could still run and things, but it was a great place to play football. And so all the boys all joined in. There was a few big girls over there too who were out there playing too. So they were after it, and they were slipping and sliding everywhere. And because it was so muddy, you know, the football was very slippery, so there's a lot of fumbles. They had to dive after the fumble, and you dive head first and grab it, and there was mud in their face, mud in their hair, mud in their mouth. They were just covered with mud. They were having the time of their lives. And one of the boys, after a particularly good tackle, it seemed like they were sliding for like 4 miles, but it seemed that it wasn't that long, but it seemed that far anyway. And one of the boys, as the both of them got up, the one kid said, Hey, what's that on your shoulder? Now, I should back up a moment to say that there was an apartment building that was nearby. And they were having some plumbing issues, some sewer problems. And so there was some sewer runoff that went different places. And, of course, things all run downhill. You know what they say. And so when that boy got up, what was on his shoulder was a wadded-up, soggy piece of toilet paper. It was stuck on his shoulder. It was also about that same time that the boys and the girls, they realized that, you know, it smells a little more than normal around here. And finally, one of them, you know, all covered in mud, his hair and his eyes and mouth, he said, We are playing in poop! And so, talk about a change of mind and change of direction. They got out of there as fast as they possibly could. That is repentance. It is. It really is. I mean, it's changing your mind. It's thinking differently And it's also acting differently. Because before they realized what they were doing, they thought, hey, this is great. But then the light of God shined on them. And they realized where we are and what we have been doing. They changed the way they were thinking. They also changed the way they were acting. That is exactly what repentance is. Here's another positive thing about repentance. Everyone is offered the chance to repent. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. God offers everyone a chance to make a U-turn in your spiritual journey. That brings us to the story of Zacchaeus. Now, for us, is it okay this morning if we call him Zach? Can we just call him Darla? Are we okay with that? She's good with that. Yeah, her son's Zach. Yeah, let's call him Zach. It's easy for us to connect to because there's not too many Zacchaeuses walking around, but there are quite a few Zachs. So we can connect with him. Zach was living in a town called Jericho. He was working for the government. Actually, he was subcontracted by the Roman government, and he was not just a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. So what you have to understand is that the chief tax collectors, they were put in charge over certain regions, and underneath them, they had local tax collectors who would collect the money, and they would make sure that those guys collect the money from all the people. Because Rome would determine how much they were supposed to get, and the tax collectors were the ones who had to go get the money. Now, if they determined we need 5% of the income, that's fine. Rome was going to get their 5%. However, here's a little caveat. Rome didn't care if those tax collectors, if they gathered 15 or 20%. As long as Rome got their 5, guess who got to keep the rest? It was the tax collectors. Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. He was head over lots of different tax collectors. You might think of a Ponzi scheme. I don't know, maybe, but you know there was hierarchy within this, and the tax collectors, they would collect the money, and so of course they were not very well liked. In fact, they were viewed as the worst kind of sinners, because many of them would be extorting the money. They would be taking more than what they deserved, and so they ended up getting very wealthy. In spite of the low opinion of the people they had of Zach, he became a very wealthy man. Now, there is nothing wrong with being wealthy. I think it's a good thing. I believe what John Wesley said, make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. I think that's a great way to be looking at life. You should be making as much money as you possibly can. Save as much as you can so that you can give just as much as you can. However, what we ought to remember is everything you own owns you. To a certain degree, whatever you own owns you. For Zach, it seemed like his love of money was calling the shots. You know, it was causing him to do things he should not be doing. And treating people the way he should not be treating people. And what Zach was finding out is that money has never made anyone happy yet, nor will it. The more a man has, the more he wants. Instead of filling a vacuum, it creates a vacuum inside of you. But despite his issues, despite all the other people's issues, and the fact that nobody really liked Zacchaeus, Jesus came to his town. And it says that Jesus was passing through. And you ever notice this? The only person Jesus talked to in that town was Zach. Isn't that something? I don't know when the last time was someone actually had a conversation with him or went over to visit at his house. But this time that Jesus was walking through town, he went and he talked to Zach. I love how it says in verse 5, because we have Zacchaeus climbs up into this sycamore tree. He wanted to see Jesus. He was curious about Jesus, wanted to know who Jesus was. And it says in verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot. And that is really significant. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up at him and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. This tells me that everyone is offered a chance to repent. Everyone has the opportunity. Even today, maybe you're not sitting in a tree, but guess what? You're in a spot today. Maybe you're in a spot in a relationship and you don't know how you got here. Maybe you're in a spot financially, you don't know how you got here. You're in a spot physically, you don't know how you arrived here. Or you're in a spot that you have made decisions that have led you down wrong roads. And you've ignored the conversation and the directions that were given, and suddenly you've been hearing, make a U-turn, stop and make a U-turn, turn around. Guess what? Whatever spot you're in, that's where Jesus is. Jesus has reached that spot. And he's meeting you exactly where you are. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're the richest guy in town or you're the poorest guy in town. You could be the best loved or the worst hated person in the entire town. Jesus gives everyone a chance to turn to him. I love how Peter describes this very same concept about repentance. He says, the Lord isn't really slow about his promise, that is, his promise of returning. He's not slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. That's his will. That's his desire. He wants everyone to stop and make a U-turn. He wants everyone to be able to change how you're thinking and change how you're living. His desire is not only for you to be able to change your mind, but to also change your direction. He wants everyone to recalculate, to turn to him. So Zach climbs down from the tree, and it says he welcomed Jesus gladly. Nobody in town liked this guy. But the only person in town that Jesus talked to that day was Zacchaeus. And invites himself over to his house. And by the way, this is where I get my pastoral direction when I invite myself to your place. Because Jesus did that, you know. And so I'm trying to do the work of Jesus. So if I invite myself over sometime, that's why I'm doing it. It's not just your 65-inch flat screen that I'm interested in looking at, all right? Okay, that's part of it, but it really is. Because this is what Jesus did. I suspect he threw a party that day. I think it was a party like no other. I think Zacchaeus was having a great time, and Jesus was having a great time, and Zacchaeus, and probably the only one who was really put out was Mrs. Zacchaeus. She's like, how many are we inviting over? Who's all coming? And so they were having a great party. And did you ever think about it this way? The happiest guy in the room was the one guy who repented. Maybe you have experienced that as you were driving, and you know, you realize, man, this is getting me nowhere fast. And you had to swallow your pride. Trust me, guys, I get it. I know it's a tough thing. Swallow your pride, take a look at the map, and suddenly we have to turn around and go a different direction. That's what Zacchaeus did that day. He changed. We're talking about Zacchaeus the swindler. We're talking about Zac, the guy that ripped everybody off. We're talking about the guy that everyone hated. He became the happiest guy in the whole town. And I noticed at Burger King, they're hiring people. But there's a little caveat. They're saying, hiring smiling faces. All right? See that? And so if you're not smiling, don't even go, because they won't hire you. But the way that I see a bunch of people who could be working at Burger King here, because you're all smiling this morning. You should go get a job. You know, I just mentioned how money doesn't buy happiness, but, you know, we've been told that for years, but is that actually true? I mean, is it really true that money doesn't buy happiness? Believe it or not, they actually did a study on this. And what they have found out in one study said that when we reach a certain household income, in America, it's $105,000. And what they've tracked is when a household income rises above $105,000 a year, that the level of happiness the people in the house experience starts to go down. Isn't that crazy? You would think that, hey, we got more money, we should be happier. No, it's actually just the opposite. The richer we become, the more unhappy we become. And the reason behind that is because money doesn't meet the deepest needs of our lives, does it? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're driving a Lexus on the wrong road or you're driving a lemon on the wrong road. It doesn't matter. You're still going the wrong way. You know, it doesn't matter if you are very sincere about going the wrong way or if you absolutely believe the wrong way is the right way. If you're on the wrong road and you're heading the wrong direction, guess what? You'll end up in the wrong place. That's what happens. And happy is the day that we realize we're going the wrong way. And we begin to turn and go to a brand new direction. That's exactly what God calls us to do. Zach was rich, but he wasn't happy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, the Bible says. There was this longing inside of him. There was a curiosity. He wondered about Jesus. He wondered if Jesus could do something about the poverty in his spirit. Well, he was rich, but he was also very poor. Well, he had money. He didn't have much meaning. Well, he might have had a lot of coins, but he didn't have much peace. When he climbed down from that tree, Zach was a different man. He responded to the invitation of Jesus. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I'm going to stay at your house. He responded to Christ, and that changed everything about his life. I've started following Jesus almost 29 years ago. And this is way back when we had paper maps. And you know, so it was last millennium. Seriously, it was. 29, that's a long time. And yeah, you know, it's true, not every day has been a great day. And there have been difficult things that I've had to go through. But never one moment have I ever regretted turning to Jesus. Not one moment have I ever thought that was a stupid idea. No, I realized 29 years ago that was the best thing for me to do, and it continues to be the best thing I can do, is to turn to Christ, begin to follow Him, to allow Him to lead me, that I can reorient my life going to His directions, not my directions. That when He says to recalculate, that I recalculate my life according to Him. That when He says to turn right, I turn right. That when He says continue forward, I keep going forward. When He says stop, I stop. We overcomplicate this spiritual life. But I've never, ever regretted turning to Christ and started following Him. He has made, He continues to make all the difference in me. Repentance is changing your mind, but also changing your direction. Repentance is something that everyone is offered an opportunity to do. Based on what you know and the amount of understanding that you have, God has given you the opportunity to respond to that. When you repent, when you begin to turn to Christ, to begin to follow Him, you will never regret the joy, the meaning, the purpose, the significance that you find in life. But despite all your happiness, guess what? There will be some doubters. There will be some people. In fact, Zacchaeus had plenty of people in the town. They weren't buying it. In fact, it says all the people saw that Jesus went to be at Zacchaeus' house having a party, and they began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Repentance is the best decision you will ever make, but that doesn't mean that everyone's going to believe in your repentance. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to believe that you have changed. You know, there will be people. There were looking down at Jesus, and they were also looking down at Zacchaeus. I remember years ago there was that commercial for Wendy's hamburgers. You remember that commercial? Yeah. You do remember that, yeah. Yeah, that's the one, yeah. These little old ladies, you know, and they were looking. Okay, all right. I've looked back at this. They weren't just using a bun for that commercial. I mean, they used kind of like the big old, you know, loaf of bread, all right. So they kind of exaggerated a little bit. But you saw that little lady, she pulled that bun and she said,
"Well,
Where's the beef? Yeah, she want to know, where's the beef, is what she would say. Sweet little lady. You know? Yeah, because, you know, really what she's saying, hey, talk is cheap. You can say you make good hamburgers, but I want to know, where's the beef? If I want to buy a bun, I'd go down to the bakery. You know, but she was expecting something to be there. She wanted to see the proof. And you know what? She was right. Anybody can say they make great hamburgers. That's easy to say it. Well, it's another thing to do it. And the townspeople, that's what, you know, they made up their minds a long time ago about Zach, didn't they? Well, they figured what this guy was. He ripped us off. He took our money. You know, he's gotten rich off of us. All our money is sitting over there at his house. But when you repent, when you turn to Jesus, there will be people who do not believe in the change that God's making in your life. There will be those who think, oh, it's just a phase he's going through. He'll get over it. Just wait until he goes through some hard times. We'll see. See how well he's doing there. You know, here's a way to make life a whole lot simpler. Live your life to please Jesus and don't worry about anybody else. Okay? You can write that down. Live your life to please Jesus. Don't worry about anybody else. Because at the end of the day, really, at the beginning of every day, the only opinion that truly matters in your life is Jesus. And I don't care what other people are saying. I mean, I do to a degree, but boy, it is a very small degree compared to what Jesus has to say. Imagine standing before God someday. Lord, I lived my life and I made everybody happy. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You were never in a relationship with me. My opinion of you never mattered to you. Live your life to please Jesus. Don't worry about what other people are saying. I tell you what, that makes life so much simpler. And I found out that Jesus is a whole lot easier to please than other people. He is much more accepting. He is much more understanding. He has a whole lot more patience and a much better direction and better advice he could ever possibly give that anyone else could give you. His opinion is the only opinion that truly counts. But those people who may doubt your repentance, they are bringing up a very good point. And it's the fact that real repentance leads to real change. Just like those kids playing in the mud, real repentance leads to real change. And there was some real change that we see in Zach's life. There was a presence in his life that he had not known before. Not only in his life, but also in his home. It was changing the makeup of his home because he began to follow Jesus. There was a relationship that he did not have before. There was a peace that he had not known before. And there was a lifestyle that he was not living before he repented. But suddenly, all of that was happening right away. He said, look, Lord. And I think some little comedy here. He said, look, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor. That is incredible. I don't know if he's ever done that before. God, 50% off the top is what I'm giving to bless this community. Now that made a difference. And then here's the comedy part. He said, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I kind of think there was a few chuckles around there. If I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount. And someone probably said, excuse me, sir, could you just sign that right here? Because we want to, you know, yeah, because you said that. We want to make sure that we get that down. He said four times the amount because, yeah, you've been ripping us off for a long time. There was some real change happening in his life. Before Zach repented, he was all about taking. Now he's about giving. Before he repented, the community was getting worse because of him. Now that he has made a U-turn, now he turned to Christ, suddenly the community is being blessed. I mean, and that's just what happens for Zach. He didn't have to go to do years of Bible study to figure out that's what he's supposed to do. You know, he didn't have to go to counseling and say, hey, this is what you ought to do. This was natural for him. This became normal for him. It was automatic. This is what's happening. I have a question for you. What real change is happening in your life because you have repented? I mean, what real life change is taking place because you have turned to Jesus? What have you made wrong that suddenly now you are making right because you are trying to follow Christ Jesus? I'll just say this. If there is no observable change in your life because you have repented, I don't think you have repented. There hasn't been a change of mind and direction. There's not a change in your thinking and your acting. Maybe you've cried. Maybe you prayed a prayer, but I don't think you've repented. Because that's what repentance means. I mean, all throughout Scripture, this is exactly what repentance is. Changing your mind, changing your direction, changing the way you're thinking, and changing the way you're acting. I don't know what God is saying here this morning, but He's saying something very, very powerful to you right now. I hope you're listening. It's just as if you were heading the wrong way on the road, the only evidence that you have truly made a U-turn is if you're heading a new direction. Every time I give the opportunity to, I have the privilege to share about repentance, I want to give people the chance to respond and allow you to respond to what God is speaking to you on right now. And the beautiful thing is, in this spot, Jesus has reached this spot. He's here. He's speaking. He's offering you to make the most positive choice you will ever make in your life. And maybe some of you are thinking, well, yeah, I repented. I remember I did that because it was at Vacation Bible School, and it was back there and so such and such. That's great. What road are you on right now? There is something powerful about that's called the repentance of believers. Because the believer's life is a life of continuing to turn, continuing to realign and to direct our lives back to where Christ wants us to go. Did you know that an airplane is off course 95% of the time? It's comforting, isn't it, Joshua? You're about to hop on a plane tomorrow. What they do is they're constantly making mid-course corrections. And because they make those corrections mid-course, they arrive safely where they're intended to go. For you and I in our spiritual life, if we are going to arrive safely where God wants us to be, we need to make some mid-course corrections. That's called repentance. We're going to sing one final song. And 29 years ago, in a church very similar to this, we were singing this very song. When I repented, when I turned to Jesus. And so I want to give you the opportunity to repent. And during this song, I'm going to ask you to do it like we did 29 years ago. If God is speaking to you about turning to Him, I want to give you the opportunity to come forward and to be able just to be with me and stand with me. And I would love to pray with you about this beautiful thing called repentance. As the worship team is coming, I want to pray for you right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this beautiful privilege that we have to turn to you. Lord, it is something that is grace-enabled. It is not something that we can just conjure up on our own, but Lord, when we sense the Spirit of God drawing us, when we hear you speaking, just as Zacchaeus heard the voice of Jesus that day, he responded, he came down immediately. I pray that this very moment, as you are speaking to hearts in this room today, that we would respond to you as well. That this would be the most positive choice we will ever make in our lives. Change us, oh God. Make us ever new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing.